are now tuned in to the Revive Radio Show with your host, Saquon King, a.k.a. D. King, a.k.a. Mr. Blood Certified. And we will be invading your speakers live every Monday at 8 p.m. with music and interviews from some of the hottest urban Christian artists of today here on the Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Stay tuned.
That's gonna be my new intro. I'm just gonna come in like. Now let me stop. Hey, listen, what's up, folks? This is your boy, Daquan King, aka D King, and you are listening to the Revive Radio Show. And tonight, oh my God, you already know what's like really dear to my heart when it comes to ministry, and that's marriage. It's just something that I feel like God is really, really just pushing me towards. Is seeing marriages succeed, prosper, and also making sure that I have the best marriage that I could possibly have as well. And so tonight, we're going to be talking about that, which is something we probably do once a month anyways. But tonight is a special segment regarding marriage. But before we get into anything else, let's do what we always do at this time. So bow your head. If you're driving, then you know what to do. Don't bow your head. That wouldn't be wise. Dear Heavenly Father, we magnify your holy name. You are God and God alone. There's truly none greater than you, none higher, none more powerful, none wiser. You are God, and you are amazing in all your ways. And Father, we just say thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you, Father, for our family members. Thank you, Father, for our husbands and wives if we're married or if we're single. Father, thank you for a relationship with you, Father, that just prepares us for a relationship with someone else. God, I just pray that you direct us on today, God, that you use our tongue to speak life and light into someone who's dealing with darkness or death. God, I pray, Father, for healing to take place on tonight, God, breakthrough to take place on tonight, God, as we surrender ourselves into your hands, as we surrender ourselves into your hands, God, as tools in the master's hands. We ask, God, that you have your way. Speak through us. Use every good and bad thing, every negative and positive thing about our marriage, every stumbling block, every stumble that we've ever had. God, I pray, Father, that you take every experience, Father, and use it for your glory. Every good thing, use it for your glory, God, and be magnified through us on tonight, God. So we just give you all the honor and all the praise which is due to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And guys, after we lift up God, you know what we have to do next, which is like my greatest honor after acknowledging my father is to get to acknowledge my wife. And I count it an honor to do so because she is truly worthy of that honor. She's a wonderful woman. And, you know, you guys know whether I'm talking about music or not, whether this is a marriage show or not, I have to honor my wife. She is not my better half. I don't want to say that because that kind of sounds like, you know, I have a bad half and I don't. And if I had a bad half and she was my better half, then that would mean that I'm the bad half. And that don't make any sense to me because I'm good. But she makes my good half look better. Yeah, let's say it like that. So hey, shout out to my girl Nana. I'm trying to make sure I phrase these words correctly. Yeah, my baby, she's pregnant and 16 weeks in. You know what I'm saying? So your boy is crip walking all throughout the house like on a daily basis. Cause the first child about to come through and change the world. We about to raise a king. You know what I'm saying? That's gonna represent the kingdom. Yeah, you know I mean. So yeah, man. Shout out to my baby, man. I love her dearly. Hey, so listen, guys, I got my man Byron on the show with his wife, Kim. I don't know if she's here yet, but she's on her way. Hey, Kim, you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Hey, sis, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I don't know why I'm yelling. But anyways, welcome to the show, Byron. Welcome to the show, the Taylors. Welcome to the show. I'm really looking forward to this tonight, man. I really want to dig into this whole thing about grace. I see that you guys already have a page up on Facebook about love and grace. I didn't even know that. This is just something that God had gave. Yeah. So I tackle certain different topics about marriage once a month, and that was just something that God had put in my heart. And I was like, okay, well, let's talk about grace and space. And then as I'm pulling y'all up, because I knew y'all had a Facebook page, but I didn't know y'all had a marriage page. I'm like, oh, they're already on this grace and love thing. Okay, So we're going to dig into that. We'll just shift it a little bit, you know, and allow you guys to talk about your platform, what you do. And so let's get into that. How long have y'all been married?
We've been married for almost 10 years now. December 16th will be our 10th year anniversary. Yeah. And
wow.
It has been a growing experience. First of all, I want to say congratulations to you, man, on the new bundle of joy that's on the way, man.
Yay.
That is. I heard you say you were crip walking, so we crip walking with you, man. We have four of them ourselves, so we're done. Praise God.
Yeah,
but,
y'all
yo,
crazy.
We. But yeah, we're definitely excited about marriage and family. And for we've been together for 12 years fully, but we are celebrating 10 years this December 16th. So it's been a blessing, man. And anybody that wants to jump into it, I just want to tell them firsthand, it is beautiful, but it is work.
It is work.
Yeah. You know, my pastor always says marriage is for mature people.
It definitely is. I say that all the time. I say that if you're not ready, don't say yes.
Don't say yes. Don't say I do, because you can't say I don't once you say I do.
Oh, no.
I mean, like, you know, y'all been married 10 years. How long have y'all been happily married?
Hello? Through our counseling people and our mentors, they tell me to let the wife speak for the marriage concerning how the marriage is. So I'm going to let my beautiful bride tell you a little bit of how that
man,
is.
Man, I'm almost, you know what, it's so crazy that you say that, but you really do have to be honest about your walk in this journey. And honestly, Dee, I can say it's probably been maybe 50%, maybe 60% happily walking in this thing. So maybe 6 years.
Okay. Six years. So six official years of bliss, and 4 years of getting of learning your getting your footing. That'd be a good way of saying it. Because you know, one thing I love to I don't want to say love, but here's how I explain it to especially newer people who just got married is when you're two separate people who are coming and becoming. The Bible says you become one. And when you become one, you are now a new person that you have never been before. And you would never have a baby and just expect that baby to just come out of the womb and begin to operate as if it knows everything about life. You know what I mean? So it's like your marriage, you're just so you're new, and that's why we fuss about stuff in the early stages of marriage. That to a mature person would be like, man, why are you whining about that? We don't see it as whining when we're young because we don't even know we're in the baby stage of marriage. So that's
correct,
good, man. Y'all finally hit that peak in your leveling off with four kids. I mean, you had to figure it out.
Definitely. I often say, and our testimony is a little different from everybody's where. You know, people say that they, you know, been honeymooning for 2-3 years. We had a 3-month honeymoon, and then
long.
It got serious. Well,
that's
when
long.
I say 3 months, I mean, we were happy with each other for 3 months, and then, you know, the first year of marriage is always the one that kind of gets everybody, and it challenges you to really see if that's something, if it's really real. You know, the dating stage is over with almost, and you kind of have to reacclimate yourselves to learn each other. It's no longer going home and, you know, to individual houses. It's now if you get upset at them, you got to stay in the same bed and figure that thing out. And one of the things that we did in the first 3 months of our marriage, we got pregnant with our first child, McKinley. And, you know, we often say, and I say that actually is one of the things that actually saved our marriage. Because in the first 3 months, we kind of frustrated the heck out of each other.
Yeah.
And we were wondering, you know, okay, we believe God has called us to be with each other. But at the same time, we had some issues like, well, you know, why can't I do this? Or why are you so independent? And in that, once we found out that we were pregnant, the shift focused on the baby. And we took the shift off of us. And so now we were united together in knowing that we had a purpose and a call to not only be fruitful and multiply, but focus on the well-being of the child. And so that's what we did. And I often say that our first child actually saved our marriage. I don't know if we would have went through and killed each other or, you know, just got so upset that we went the way. Okay. But at the same time, we do, I do personally believe that, you know, our child, you know, really, you know, God ordained that pregnancy, and it actually, you know, helped us out so much.
That's and you know, for one, God doesn't make any mistakes, you know. But you just don't know what your ministry is going to be, and all the lives that you've touched and affected, you know what I'm saying, since you got married, and you know, have committed yourself to Christ and to really promoting this Christian marital thing, you know, imagine the lives that wouldn't be touched had it not been for you guys sticking it out, you know. So often, you know, the reason we don't stick out situations is because of selfishness, you know, and we miss the fact that it's not just the lives that we're affected in terms of my husband and wife, but it's the little brother that's watching you. It's the little sister that's watching you. It's the usher that's watching you. You know what I mean? It's all these people out there who may not even be watching you, but they're going to be affected, you know what I'm saying, one way or the other, by your lifestyle based off of, you know, off of your marriage. And I can tell you, man, me and my wife go places together. We've been married almost 6 years now. Come in December, December 4th is our anniversary. And literally, I'm going to be honest with you, man. We go places, right? And people think that we just got married yesterday. You know what I mean? Like, they think that we just got married. Oh, how long y'all been? Oh, newlyweds. You know what I mean? Like, we'll go off on a trip somewhere and they really thought that we just got married. And we'll look at each other and be like, been married 5 years. If you would have saw us 3 years ago, you wouldn't have been thinking that. You probably would have thought we'd been married 20 years. But I can say, you know, these lives. Okay, so now this person who is in wherever, Williston, let's just say some city or wherever, they think that we've just been married for a week or so. Now they're seeing this joy of the Lord that's on us. You know what
Amen.
I mean? They see that we're a blessed couple. And now they see that we've been married for 5 years. And so now here we have an opportunity to minister the love of God through our marriage just because of how we love each other.
Right.
So, you know, I actually had a question I want to ask. How important do you think happiness is to a marriage? Like, because you actually said something earlier. And you actually said something like, you know, well, I think I said, how long have y'all been happy? But then I had to think about that. Why does happiness matter so much? Because
that's true. That's
you know,
true.
Will a marriage, you know, because really what we do is we get married and we're looking for happiness. We're searching for it, and it has to come from our spouse.
This is very true. And unfortunately, we do, I didn't mean to cut you off, D, but we do depend so heavily on our spouses to feel that void of happiness. We do. We look to that. We think, and you know why we do that? Because the world tells us that we're not whole or we're not complete unless we have somebody else with us.
Mm-hmm.
So then when we're taught that for so long, we have these high expectations that are never met when we get married. God is our joy. He is our love. He is our maker. So we should really be looking to him to fulfill all that. Instead, we misdirect that and put it all on our spouses. So it's not really important. And I just recently had to learn that. And I have to tell myself and remind him, you can't make me happy. You cannot make me happy, because one day I may like this and the other day I'm not going to like this. And one day I like when you rub my feet and the other day, stop, you annoy me. So I have to understand that he cannot make me happy. And in doing that, I gain myself again, understanding that he can't make me happy. That joy of the Lord is my strength, and that comes from above. So, you know, we have to learn and experience that a little bit to really truly understand what it means.
Well, I will tag that with this. I think that we can make our spouses happy when we are in the will of God and fulfilling our godly purpose. I understand, you know, exactly what my wife was saying, but I think on the tag end, I want to kind of button it with the fact that your spouse can make you happy when we're in the will of God. Now, when you're out of the will of God and you know, things are in disarray and you have all kind of chaos going on, of course you're not going to be happy with your spouse. But I believe that as long as you can keep that focus on Christ and can consider the fact that, hey, we're both seeking the face of God together, and you can see the joy of the Lord in your spouse, that will fulfill or will make you happy in that moment.
Okay, so I'm going to come in the middle of you two, because you was right there, and then she was right here, and so I'm going to come in right here, you know, like right in the middle, right? Okay, I agree with you, my man. I agree with you, my sis, and I think the issue is culture, because you have both have the right point of view. Because it's one, it's not your responsibility as the husband or as the wife to make your spouse happy, but it is your responsibility to be in the will of God, because that's what you promised to your spouse. And so by keeping your word, there is a certain there is a response that you're going to get out of in terms of happiness. And then sis, it's not his responsibility to make you happy, and anytime you put that on him, you make him your God. Because like the word says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I can't make anybody, if anybody has that ability over my happiness or my sadness, then that means that I have moved God out of the way. And I've said, now you are the captain of my joy. You're the captain of my hope, you know. But God has placed us together for us to do life together, and said, okay, you depend on me, but you treat your spouse the way I treat you. So I'm expecting you, husband, to sacrifice and give your life for her the way I did for you. And then I'm expecting you to understand that when this person makes you angry, pissed off, whatever, I want you to give your life for this person the way I gave my life for you. Because I wasn't happy with you when I got on this cross. And I wasn't happy with you when you poked me in the side. But I did it anyway because I love you. And so I think the happiness is going to come from being in the will of God. But the true focus is love. I didn't mean to ask you guys a trick question. It's just that I ramble on. And so here, I've gotten to this place. We're following the breadcrumb.
No. You're fine. I think. One of the things that is a very good scripture for us is for husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if one of the things that I do tell a lot of the men that I run into or come across is that if you love your wife, you know, like Christ loved the church, you know, then you might, you know, it might be some situations that might be hurtful. It might, you know, cause you to sacrifice a little, but at the end of the day, that love itself, the Bible says, the love is the love of God that leads us to repentance or turn.
Mm-hmm.
It is the love that you cover your wife with that will allow situations and circumstances to change in your marriage.
Right, you preach or not. That's good. That's good. Okay, hey, So I want to get into this grace and love thing. But before we do that, we're going to get into just a quick song real quick, and then we're going to come right back to you guys. So we're going to be playing my man Christian Gray all night, since we're talking about love and all that stuff like that.
Okay.
And I jam with this man. So we're going to play this quick song. This is our last time, and I'm going to come back with y'all real quick.
Time you said I'm sorry.
When was the last
time you said I love you? Do you mean it when you say I'm sorry? Oh, was the last time? When's the last time you said I'm sorry? When's the last time you said I love you? Do you mean it when you say I'm sorry?
When was the last time you said I'm sorry? When was the last time you said I love you? Do you believe it when you say I'm sorry? See, I had to play the song for the people, right? So they can hear what the song sounds like. And then when the song is over, I come in and I let them know what the song's supposed to sound like. You know what I mean?
Okay,
like
that's what it is.
Is that what that was?
You with me?
Okay. You with me?
Yeah.
I put that extra anointing on it. You know what I mean? Like you had the cheese, and then you go and then you put some toppings on it. You know, because the pizza is good with the bread and the cheese. You know what I mean? But me, I'm like that stuff on top of the cheese. You know what I'm saying? So you give me your song, I'm gonna take it up a notch. That's what I do.
Hey man, that's what I'm talking about. Turn
that's what
up.
I do.
Turn up. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I do. That's exactly what I do, and everybody knows it. And so I can sing. Anyways, I believe in myself as a singer, guys. You'll find that out from listening to the show. Even if I can't sing to you, that's your issue. You have bad ears. Fix your ears, and then it'll sound better to you. I promise you. Just take your ears somewhere and get them fixed. Anyways, all right. So let's get back to the show, man. Hey, listen, guys. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to the Revive Radio Show with your host, the Quan King, a.k.a. D. King, and I got the Taylors, Kim and Byron Taylor, on the show tonight. And we're talking about love. We're talking about marriage. We're going to talk about family. We're just going to dig into this whole thing that God created a long time ago when he made that woman for that man and said, y'all go do that thing. So you guys have this thing called grace and love, right?
Love and grace.
Is it love and grace or grace and love?
It
doesn't matter.
Love and grace.
It's love and grace. Okay. Love and grace, and then grace for love. Okay. So y'all break it down, man. What is this about? Like, you know, how does that work? What are y'all doing with it? Give us the whole rundown.
Love and grace was birthed really out of a need for young married couples to see it done God's way.
Mm.
There is a lot of talk about how marriage should be, but the world is speaking a lot louder than the church. And so we wanted to come in and try and reverse that a little bit to tell people you can stay married for a very long time. You can make it. You can be strong, and you can love your spouse unconditionally through the trials, through the tribulations, and still have fun doing it.
Mm.
So that's how we got love and grace.
And, you know, so love and grace actually is a person. So there are two people. I am love. She is grace. Foundation for my love is to love her like Christ loved the church. Her grace is, you know, unmerited favor towards me for all the goofy stuff that I've done over the past 10 years. But but in that, we truly believe, you know, when we first started, you know, in our marriage, we used to have this hero party. I don't know if you're familiar with the show Heroes.
Okay, yeah.
But that was, you know, that came out like 10 years ago. We used to have these parties every...
It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, it came out 10 years ago. It was when we first got started. Yeah, yeah, okay. We were in an apartment.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
In the town.
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah. So, anyway, 10 years ago, we had that this party, and we used to invite couples over to watch it with us. And, you know, so after a while, we kind of, you know, we had three couples that we started watching the show with. And then all of a sudden, you know, over the years, we just realized that these couples were no longer together. They were totally separated and divorced. Mm-hmm. So it kind of, you know, it didn't harden our hearts, but it made us kind of sad in the fact that it was like, man, these marriages are not surviving. And in that, you know, we said that, you know, young people, old people, you know, young marriages, they can all use certain principles and points that we've learned through experience, through the Word of God, that can help them. And so, you know, we've been sitting on Love and Grace, the actual, you know, videos and all of that stuff for about maybe a year before we even debuted it in January. Matter of fact, this November will be the year when we actually started the page last November, but we didn't launch videos until January. But you know, what happened is we kind of decided, hey, let's just go ahead and step out, and we're not perfect. You know, we're not stepping out as the perfect couple. And so that was the mindset. We had to get over the fact that we needed to be perfect. And so we thought that, hey, if we could just tell people, hey, some of the things that you're going to, you know, come in conflict with during your marriage and how to navigate around those things, or like you said in the beginning, those small mounds don't have to become mountains. If we can navigate through those things, then I think a lot of marriages will survive. And so, you know, through the last, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11 months, we have seen a lot of positive things as a result of Love and Grace. Not only through the videos, we went from, you know, doing 5-point videos to now we're doing, you know, our comedic, you know, short, you know, kind of, you know, joking kind of skits that we do to kind of let people know that, hey, there are certain, you know, things that you can laugh about in your marriage. And so, you know, one of the things that we would laugh about, and people always ask, well, how'd you come up with that? And those are just real scenarios that actually happen when, you know, when men, we have a way of thinking that, you know, we want something this way from our wives, and our wives are, you know, they're practical, and they're like, no, I'm not going to do this until we get this house straightened up or fold these clothes or, you know, so there are certain aspects that are just real and tangible that we try to allow the audience that, you know, that have jumped on or kind of, you know, started, you know, following us to, you know, engage. And those things are tremendous, man. We have a great time. We haven't done a video in about maybe 2.5 months, but it's not like the ideas have stopped. We just know that life happens. And my wife blessed me to know that, hey, it's okay if we have to take a small break in order to get us where we need to be, because there's no worse thing to than to try to do a video or try to do a skit on video and you still be butting heads off of the camera. So we try to get definitely our priority is to make sure that our house and our 4 kids are taken care of. And then we kind of think, okay, well, now let's go ahead and, you know, minister to the others. But first, let's go ahead and get our house in order. And that's what we do. And it's been a blessing, man. A lot of people have been blessed by it. We're on CW17. We are also starting to take the principles and the videos that we use in our ministry now, and we are helping to develop a Couples of Promise class for our, you know, young couples at the Potter's House, and we'll be, you know, mentoring and counseling and you know, helping our Elder Brondrick and Elder Williams, who are over that, to kind of help with marriages. So it's been a whole plethora of things that have started just from us saying, you know what, let's just help people and give them points. I'm sorry if I'm rambling, but that's what it is.
No. That's actually really, really good. So let me ask you, man, you know, when you say help people, what type of problems are coming to you guys? Like, are people like coming to you saying, hey, look, this is something we're facing, or is it more of they're coming to you and saying, hey, look, this video blessed me, or what you said on that site blessed me, you know, and, you know, we've grown from it. You know, how is it coming to you?
As far as, you know, how the feedback comes, we're getting both. We're getting serious feedback, serious questions and inquiries. We're also getting, you know, great feedback, you know, like that video really blessed me. That is me. But we realized the seriousness of what we were doing when we had a person inboxed our page and basically said, I'm about to give up not only on my marriage, but on life. And
that's what I was
looking for. It actually became a serious thing where we realized that, yeah, it's cute for us to do videos, but we have to be spiritually minded, balanced, and ready to give an answer to those situations that may come up. And luckily, you know, I was able to, you know, inbox the gentleman back and let him know that, hey, it's not the end. Don't make a permanent decision on a temporary circumstance. And a lot of the issues that people run into, and one of his major issues was finances. He had lost his job. He had been unemployed for about 2-3 years, and it started weighing on him to where his spouse thought that he wasn't pulling his load. And so because he had lost, you know, his job, it trickled into losing the house. That trickled into losing the car. That trickled into them becoming so financially dependent on others to the point where he felt like he was not being the breadwinner or the person that could take care of the load. And so I had to, you know, break it down to him that, hey, you know, we all travel down a certain road, but that his wife, his spouse, was anointed to help him through the trial, that she's a suitable helpmeet, meaning that God perfectly fitted her to match his weakness. And so I told him that one of the issues that, you know, he was having was that he did not want to communicate with his wife. And so in that, I told him, bro, you got to release that pride. You have to start ministering, not only ministering, but you have to start communicating with your wife, even on the small tips. And that's something even myself, you know, in a lot of marriages, we still have to learn and adapt to, because a lot of times men, we try to take on everything and we want to shoulder the load without sharing the conversation of the load. I actually told him, I said, man, you are actually in the perfect position for God to start moving. And one of the things that he actually struggled with was his walk and his dependency on God. And so I said, man, you have to be the man of God, the priest of your household. I said, I don't think your wife is totally upset at the fact that you don't have a job or that the means are getting rough and hard right now. I said, I think more so your wife might be upset is that you're not giving good leadership for, you know, what's going on. I said, she's looking for you to lead her, let her know that it's going to be okay. I said, your faith in the situation could help stabilize that situation. I said, so you have to totally return back to God, get totally grounded and rooted in the things of God, and let your faith be unwavering. And then once you start taking that stand within your marriage, watch the other things start to, you know, start to grow and start to strengthen and everything. I said, you need to dedicate your marriage to Christ first and watch things start to happen. So I reassured him that, hey, this is just temporary. This is nothing more than an attack of the enemy. But not only is it an attack on the enemy on him, it's something that the enemy is trying to use to divide your household, to make you even more weaker. I said, but your wife is that person that can help you get through that. I said, start talking to your wife, man, and watch things start changing. And that's what happened. But by that means, we came to the realization that Love and Grace needed accountability. So we took our Love and Grace, simple Love and Grace page, and we said, you know, to our bishop and our first lady, hey, this thing has gotten real serious, and we don't want to walk in this calling or this ministry without true covering. And we had lunch with our bishop, you know, and our first lady, and they said that they loved it. And once we even submitted our page to that, God continued to start giving even more increase. So it's been a blessing, man.
Before you go on, sis, Kim, I want to ask you, what do you say to the wife in that situation who is frustrated with her husband because maybe he's not communicating with her, or, you know, maybe he's dealing with the insecurity for a man it can be crippling. It can be extremely crippling, especially when he feels like he's not pulling his weight. He's not the man that he believes himself to be. What do you say to the wife in that situation in terms of ministering to her? Go ahead.
Sorry. Yes. So I did not have a conversation with the wife, and I don't really know her side of the story, but specifically speaking to what you asked me, I would first say be anxious for nothing. Because one thing that happens is that we get so anxious in what it should be and what needs to be, that we miss out on what a wife can truly give to a husband. And we can be their best cheerleaders in the worst situations and in the worst circumstances, yes, a man's pride really needs to be boosted up so he can know that he is still doing an awesome job. He is still an awesome provider. He is still head of the house. So I would then turn around and tell her, one, don't be anxious, but then, two, continue to speak into his spirit man. Because the more you speak into his spirit man, the more that spirit man will begin to overflow and outgrow that worldly man.
Mm.
And then you'll begin to think that he can walk on water.
Okay. I love it. I love it. So you're saying for her to speak life into him and to speak it until you begin to see it, on top of that, not only will you see it, but you'll begin to believe it. And the more you believe it, the more you'll speak it. And then, and then you're saying to the man, is you have to open up more. You have to be more transparent because we can't do this alone. And men turn into islands when situations get hard and we feel like no one else can relate. Especially if it's a financial situation. But a man can easily turn into an island and will shut down. And so, here's the thing. Women, y'all ain't got no problem talking. Y'all talk good. I'm country, so I'm going to let my little country come out me right here, okay? A woman can be in the bathroom, on the floor, with her head in her lap, crying her heart out. Another woman walks in, what's going to happen? She gonna talk to her. She gonna sit down beside her. She's gonna work her through it. She's gonna feel that with her. If a brother is sitting on the floor crying in the bathroom, and another man walk in there, he gonna look at him and be like, "Hey, bro, you all right?" And hope that he doesn't have anything else to say.
That's it.
It's like when we're built to not open up, and then culture teaches us not to. And so I love what you said there, man, in terms of you have to open up to your wife, because if you don't, you become more and more of an island. You drift farther and further away, and your marriage, the devil will ramshack your marriage at that point. And look, guys, we're going to play another song, and we'll come back with y'all. I'm enjoying myself. I hope y'all are enjoying yourself. Listen, this does turn into a podcast, and you can download it. You can share it with your friends, your family. Maybe you know somebody who's dealing with that same exact situation where maybe they both have lost their jobs, or the husband has lost his job and he's struggling, or they're struggling in their marriage and they're not communicating. They may be talking, but they're not communicating. And because they're not communicating, they're drifting further and further apart, and hearts are becoming callous, and they're maybe using words that are not filled with love. And here's an opportunity for you to minister some grace to them and just let them know, hey, look, you have to open up. And there cannot be any healing unless the wound is exposed. You can't heal it. Keep listening. I'm going to play this song real quick, Isle of You. That's my boy, Christian Gray. Oh, and I might sing a little bit of that for y'all, too. I don't want to compete. Whenever you compete, you're a little. My ability to change the life of your life by singing the well.
Your name is Ethan. Name is amazing. You blow my mind. Beautiful lady, if you don't mind, I like to get away. Sunset in view, stay here forever on the Isle of You. I'll hold you dear, give you your roses while you're still here. You take my breath away. Forever, I love you.
Your wife, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? Like, right, I'm singing out loud. I know my wife can hear me, bro. I'm, hey, Miss Amazing, you blow my mind. Ah, that's my girl, man. All right, back to the show, man. Pray for me. Hey,
all
I
right.
can use some prayer. I can. You know what I'm saying? I can use a lot of prayer, bro. I really can. I don't mind prayer. So you can pray for me, man. I'll pray for you. We'll get there together.
Amen.
All right, so hey, listen. So while we were on a little pause, we were talking about just this whole grace and space thing, and just to kind of give you guys a understanding of what we mean by grace and space, you know, it's easy for us in a relationship to want grace for a mistake that we've made, or we want grace for something that, you know, we're not at the height of our maturity in. But whenever our spouse does something, we have to be willing to give them that same grace to get to their height of their maturity. And so I want to ask you guys, the Taylors, has there ever been a situation in your marriage to where someone has made a mistake or has done something, and, you know, maybe it was big, maybe it was small, and the other person said, hey, look, I'm going to be the adult in this situation, and I'm going to give you grace and space to grow to this level of maturity, and I'm going to love you where you are to get you to where we need to be.
I'm going to go ahead and let the grace part of Love and Grace answer that question because she displays grace all the time. So,
of course she does.
See, you can go ahead, you know, Daquan, you go ahead and ask Grace about the grace. Go ahead.
Wow. Well, you know, I don't know if we are. So, we went through a very trying time where my husband had some inappropriate conversations with some other women, and
okay, all right.
It had gotten to a point where it was kind of out of control. Mm-hmm. And so we went through a counseling session over a period of a year to kind of get back to where we were. And so in doing that, you talking about some Holy Ghost grace that I had to display or exemplify.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about some Holy Ghost grace, not only for my husband, but for my sister in Christ as well.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, I'm called to be a wife to him and to have respect and love for him. But that fellow sister, she wasn't quite on that level. And, I really seek within myself that God strengthen me in that fruit, that long suffering, that fruit that bears forgiveness, because We all fall short of the glory of God. No man is pure and righteous. We seek mm-hmm. after that, but we are carnal and fleshly at best. And so we will all come to a day where we will need to repent for something that we've done. And so when my husband was going through that time and that trial, I had to fall on my knees and ask the Lord to help me to display grace, because I know one day I will be asking my Father for the same level of grace that I needed to extend to him. And so was it hard? Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And did I take it back sometimes? Yes, I did.
Yeah.
But in the end, I knew that in order to strengthen our marriage and in order for me to be exalted to another level in Christ, I needed to show that type of grace.
Mm.
And even to her as well, I needed to let her know that she was forgiven and that I love her and that we're still sisters in Christ. We are still. Yes, you fell short. And I let her know. And I let my husband know. I say, listen, I have emotions too. You hurt me. She hurt me. I let them both know that. I let them know that so that I can begin to heal in myself, to be able to be, to give that grace. Because when you're hurt and when you fall, when you're injured, it's hard to help somebody else.
Oh, you hit something really good there. I love that you just said that, because one of the things that happens when we're in the heat of an argument or the heat of a situation in our relationships is that we say things or we do things that injure the other person, and we just expect for the healing to take place immediately, but it doesn't work that way. Healing mm-hmm. is something that happens over a process of time. And you also need the right elements in order for something to heal. You can't stab somebody and not, if you don't address the wound properly, even if you give it time to heal, it's not going to heal the right way unless you address it properly. So not only does your heart need time to heal, but it also needs the right dressing. It also needs love. It needs comfort. It needs assurance. It needs security.
Mm-hmm.
It needs words of affirmation. Those are the ways that you address the wounds of the heart. So I love that you said that, because I think that's one of the places that we fall short. And it doesn't have to be any type of exterior, somebody else coming into our marriage, or, you know, something like that. It could just be an argument about who closed the door and who didn't close the door and who left a cup on the counter. And then, you know, you say something wrong, and you said the wrong thing that actually you shouldn't have said because of some temporary situation. You said some word that really hurt someone, you know, hurt your spouse, and you're just expecting to just move on, but you can't move on because you just hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your process of healing after that? Like run me through it, because I understand what you're saying, but like, what's the actual rundown? Like, how did you get to a place of healing? And I know that in something like that, it's still a daily healing.
It is a daily healing. The first thing I had to do was forgive myself. Outside of him and outside of her, I had to forgive myself, because a lot of times when you go through situations like what we went through, you start to blame yourself for things that you thought you didn't do right, or mm-hmm. you didn't do it all, or maybe you didn't do it the way somebody else would have done it. And so I had to cancel out all of those negative thoughts, and I had to fill my spirit with what the Word of God says about me and what the Word of God says about him. And forgiving myself was the first thing, and know that in forgiving myself, God still loves me. He still cares for me. He still wants the best for me. No, he didn't do this to hurt me. He didn't do this to spite me. No, God loves me. And I had to continue to remind myself that I am a child of God. He does love me. My daddy does take care of me, and that he wants the best out of me. And then out of that love and that forgiveness for myself, then I had to understand what the root cause of this whole situation was. Because when we go through trials and when we go through situations, we can cut off branches and we can trim off that tree. But unless we get to the root of the situation, the root of the element, that tree is still going to bear some type of branch. And yes. It may not come in the same form, but it will still grow in a different manner. So we had to get to the root and cut it all the way down. And so when we did that, we started to rebuild our relationship. We started to focus on our vows, in a sense. Mm. And in focusing on our vows, we started to understand that we needed to be more God-centered and less self-centered, because that's what it was about. We were really about being self-centered, fulfilling the lust of the flesh, the eye, and the pride of life, and all of that. And then we kind of took our eye off of what God really called us to do in marriage. And I was, you know, I went back into the Word more. I started worshiping more. And I really just started to diving back into my spirit, man. Like, I was just really neglecting her. I really did. And life will do that. Life will throw you all these curveballs, and then you start juggling a whole lot of stuff. And God is saying, hey, I'm still over here. Whenever you need me, I'm here. But I just want you to know, you kind of going out there. You're going out there in the deep end. And so when I really turned back to him, I really understood, God, what was I doing? Why was I way over there? Why was I way over there? And so when I turned back and then started doing, really started focusing on, okay, God, you help me to love this man how you see fit, not how Kim sees fit. God, you show me how I need to love my husband, and I want to do it according to your word and how you want me to do it.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. So, bro, how did you help facilitate her healing? Like, in this, like, I know there had to be times where you got maybe frustrated with the fact that she wasn't healing from this quick enough, or maybe she hadn't let this go, or maybe it was, you know, here it is that you got, a situation that you knew better in as a man, and, you know, here's something that you kind of, a lot of times when men go through this, they just want it to be over. We just need,
Can we move on?
It's been a month now. Dang, it's been a couple weeks. It's been 6 months now. You know, can we grow up? You know, and we can be very harsh in our understanding or lack of understanding, because we don't even understand the depth of the pain that we've caused and how we've attacked their identity as a woman by our selfishness. You know, I'm saying our, because so many of us and men have made these type of mistakes or whatever, man, you know, not being mature in that area so soon enough in our marriage. So, like, what did you do, man?
You know what? I'm going to interrupt you really quickly because I want to speak on it as a wife and going into the healing process of what he did for me during that process. He has been nothing but extremely patient. And when I say extremely patient, I mean a year later, 2 years later, and I'll say, I can't do it today. And he will give me my space. He'll ask me what I need. He'll comfort me. And even now, you know, when we first went through that, I share with him, I say, when you see me going off, you know, when you start to stare in space, when that mind takes you back, I said, when you see me going off, grab my hand and say, come back to me. Because so many times the war is in the mind.
Yeah.
And in the mind is where we can get caught up and lose the battle. And so, so often he will be so patient and he will help me fight that battle. And it was really, I mean, I display grace, but in those moments, and still now to this day, he displays tremendous grace and patience with me. And so I just wanted to let you know that he's been nothing but patient, but he can speak on that as well.
Go ahead, bro. Go ahead. All right.
When we first went through the situation, I literally had I want to stay real, but I also want to be spiritual as well. Immediately, the Lord placed the person in mind, and he said, you need to go to this brother and, you know, find out the steps that need to take place in order for you to get back on track. I think in any you know, walk, you know, that we have, whether it's in ministry, whether it's in marriage. A man always needs somebody to be accountable to. And one of the reasons why I got in the situation that I got into was because there was a lack of accountability. So the gentleman that I asked for their assistance, he had had a similar testimony. And that testimony was one of, just basically him being in the same situation and totally doing something that, you know, was diametrically opposed to God's will and purpose for his marriage. And in that, he told me that I need to be humble. And, you know, it's easy for men to say, like you said, come on, man, I already asked for forgiveness. Go, you know, but he said, no, you have to understand the depth of what you did. You literally, you know, cut a piece, or you actually the incision that you made was one that's going to take a minute to heal from. And so, you know, I was able to, you know, sit back and see the depth of the damage that I caused. And in that, it allowed me to approach the situation in more of a humble manner, and understanding that when I hurt my spouse, I'm actually hurting myself too. And in that, I just made a conscious decision that whatever I needed to do to make us one and heal us again, or get us to a place, that's what I needed to do. So remember, in the beginning of the conversation, I said that, you know, sometimes you have to get back in the purpose and the will of Christ in order to make your spouse happy. Well, in that moment, my spouse was not happy at all. So the only thing that I could do was get in a position to where I could hear from Christ, I could be led by Christ, I could be God-centered, and therefore, you know, allow her to see that things were changing in me so that she would be able to open up again. And so, you know, if I had any, you know, any advice for any brother that might be in a situation where they hurt their spouse, I would say, first, seek God. Second, get in a place of humility. Stay there. Three, continue to just obey the Spirit of God, but also be very sensitive to your wife to help her through that. And in that, like she said, being patient and knowing that there are some days where she might just be in a moment where she's just like, I'm like, well, are you okay? And in that moment, I let her know that I'm there and that we can talk about it. But at the same time, I do allow her to have, as your topic says, that space to grow. And sometimes we both need that space.
Yeah. Dude, I didn't think we was going to go here tonight, man, but this is good. This is like good stuff.
No, and one thing that we talked about when we talk about love and grace is we understand that the testimony that we have is not for everybody. It's not for us to, you know, broadcast over the internet or broadcast on Facebook and say, hey, listen to what we went through. But we understand that there's a healing balm when people can see somebody else's testimony, because that's how we overcome.
Well, let
that's
me say, actually say this,
enemy.
Man, is there are so many situations that are very mirrored to yours, but have the totally opposite outcome because of where the couples are in Christ or not in Christ. And so it is good to have a testimony like this that is being shared and exposed, because we don't hear that too often. I can guarantee you can walk up to the average person on the street and be like, what would you do if this happened? And see what their response is going to be. And at any given time, we will probably have that same response too, if we're not willing to dig deep in Christ and say, hey, God, I need you to help me out of this, because I don't believe that I made the wrong decision, and I don't believe you made the wrong decision either. You know, so it really did come down to you guys leaning on your relationship with God, but so many people don't have that, and they don't understand that either. Okay, how is you leaning on God, your relationship with God, help you to stick with a man or help you to stick with a woman that has done this or done that? A lot of people don't have that understanding.
That's true. I think the one thing that you have to literally write them down upon the fleshly tables of your heart, those vows.
That's good.
Those vows that you make before God, they literally they are the roadmap to every situation in your marriage.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of people don't understand the power of those vows.
Right.
That's one. But then the second thing is that me and my wife have a unique situation where we really believe that God has, before the foundation of the world, said that I want Byron to, you know, go through all these different relationships and learn from them and then bump it to Kim. I want Kim to go through all these different relationships and bump it to Byron, and I'm going to use whatever they went through to make them understand and appreciate who I've created them to be so that they can become one. And in that oneness, I have called them both to minister the gospel to families, to marriages, to all kind of people. And in that, we also believe that because we have such a great call on our lives, that God literally has called us together, then it makes us fight even harder for what we have. So,
yeah.
You know, that's one thing that people probably don't understand is if they don't know that God strategically placed them together, then it's going to be easier for them to walk away. I talked to a friend of mine maybe about 3 weeks ago, and he literally said that he you know, walked up to his wife and he said, I believe that it's over and I want a divorce. So my question to him was, how could you do that if you believe that God was in it in the first place?
Yes.
Well, obviously,
when did he step out? Yeah.
Yeah, obviously it's a situation that maybe you did not believe that God was in it in the first place. Because I find it really hard for people to walk away from something that they truly felt the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, or God in. And mm-hmm. So to me, that's one of my advices to a lot of these young couples. Before you say I do, make sure that God has placed you two together.
Mm.
And even in that, D, you're going to go. The word says, when the storms of life come, where will your foundation be? Because
preach.
It doesn't say if, it says when. That means that they're going to come. They are going to come, and they're going to toss you to and fro, up and down, all around. And it also talks about when the enemy comes in to sift us out. That process of being sifted is very tumultuous. It is one where we're shaken, we're beaten, we're tossed up and down, and it can get rough. It can really get rough in marriages. And one of the things is you got to be still when you go through. Be still and truly hear the salvation of the Lord. If he hasn't told you what to do yet, then don't move.
That was
one. I'm not going to sit here and say that I did not contemplate leaving my husband. I'm not going to say that because I did. Thought about it several times, like a lot. But then on the flip side, the other side said, Lord, I want to be in your will. So you tell me what to do. And when I got that counseling, that godly counsel, not that girlfriend counsel or that guy friend counsel, no. When I got that godly counsel, they didn't neither tell me to stay nor did they tell me to go. They said, be still and hear from God. They told me not to be haste in my decision, not to make permanent decisions off of temporary circumstances, but to truly hear what the Holy Spirit is saying in that situation. And so I had to be still, and I had to be still a lot.
Let me offer this to the conversation is that is part of what you just said in terms of the fights that you have to deal with, the storms that come. So often in marriage, what happens is that it's the person that you married that hurt you. And so you want to deal with Peter when you should be dealing with the devil. And it's so easy to get that to get disillusioned and to only see Peter, you know what I mean, and to get frustrated because Peter did it. I mean, who used Peter? Peter did it. Peter still a doggone did it, and it hurts. And Peter, you did this to me. And you know, we can want to just stay there, and that becomes a place of comfort because it gives us the power to lash out in our flesh because my flesh has been pricked, and I want to fight back in my flesh. But the Bible tells us that our weapons of warfare are not carnal but mighty through God. And the distraction of the enemy is he's waving Peter in your face all day long, saying this is what Peter does, but he's in the background in the spiritual realm laughing at us because we're not even attacking him. We're not even dealing with him. We're just focused on Peter. And so we get divorced, and the spiritual battle has never left. The same spiritual battle that we should have faced in the beginning is still there because we only dealt with Peter. We didn't deal with the devil. And so go ahead, man.
I think one thing that I do like to remind, you know, a lot of people, even my spouse, is that, you know, we definitely know that, you know, this we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. There is an all-out attack on marriages. We definitely, you know, see that in our media. We see that in our television. We see that in our movies. We see that on the radio. We see that, we hear that in our music. There is an attack on the sanctity of marriage between man and a woman. And so, you know, we understand that, you know, we definitely have to, you know, take a stand and know that, you know, we have to, we have to see the spiritual aspect of it and block out the fleshly part and know that the enemy is in the mix. He's in the idea of separating the house. You know, a house divided amongst itself can't stand. So, you know, when we see those things and we open our eyes to the spiritual standpoint, you know, we know that we can definitely have a greater chance of survival.
Yeah, I totally agree, because then now you're dealing with the real fight. You know, what books are y'all reading? What books have y'all read?
We read the Bible.
Okay.
No, we've read a lot of stuff. We've actually, these are some of the things that we've done. You know, we've read, we do a couples devotional. Our Bibles are both couple devotionals. And then, you know, my wife has a whole litany of books that allows her to, you know, just come from a different perspective of what, you know, how a spouse should be. I think she just ran to go get a couple of her books now. But for the most part, we definitely do a lot of reading. And then we also go through, you know, I go to Google University as well. I chew up a lot of meat and I spit out a lot of bones. So if there's a question that I don't particularly see in the Word of God, I will definitely just find out different facts. Like even for our videos, we look at different, you know, Focus on the Family pages and different things like that to get our info on, you know, statistics about marriage and different things like that. And, you know, so we have a whole library of things that we definitely draw from to kind of combat the wiles of the enemy, but also strategically help other couples.
There was specifically a book that I read, and I can't find it, but I carried that thing around like it was the Bible. It was Healing Broken Marriages is what it was called. And I can't really – I'll have to email you or text you a little later and give you the specific details on it. But when I tell you that book was
– Was it by Gary Thomas?
No, it was actually a woman who wrote the book. And her testimony in that book was so amazing, and it was so strategic on how she got out of that situation and healed from that. And then she turned around and told her audience what to do and how to – I mean, it was so specific. I mean, it was an amazing book. It really was amazing. And when I read it, I saw myself in her shoes, and I couldn't believe what she did and how she got through. And I was like, she was truly an amazing woman. They went through a very similar situation that we went through, but there was a child that came out of his adulterous relationship. And in the end, the woman has accepted that child, and she's become friends with the lady who had the baby.
That's some type of Holy Ghost. That right there is what I call, she is either Mother Teresa's cousin or Jesus's sister-in-law. because that you just don't find that that said every day. But that's when you that's a love that is a totally agape, totally a filios. It's you know, all those kind of love. So you know, yeah.
Yeah, it's real. That's that real. But you know what that is? That's Jesus coming into your heart and really showing you his love for you. Just his love for you. I love you so much that you can now love those who have hurt you. I couldn't forgive my father for a lot of stuff until I received Christ in my heart and I received his forgiving love. Until it wasn't even me getting saved. It was me receiving his love that said, I forgive you so much that you can now forgive everyone else. And from that, it made it so much easier for me to love my father where he is as opposed to where I wanted him to be.
Right.
And I think that that's what we fail at in marriage and even in any other relationships, is that we want to love people where we want them to be as opposed to loving them where they are. And accepting the love of Christ for where we, because when we accept God's love for us, for where we are, we can love anybody where they are.
I kind of lean on Paul when he says, "Oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" I think if we could all humble ourselves and see how jacked up we really are, and how much God has really stepped in to save us, to deliver us, to heal us, to get us to a certain point to where we even can be used even the least bit or even the most bit. I think that is the place that we always need to be in a place of humility. When it comes to marriage, we put our marriage no higher than anyone. You know, I just believe that, you know, it's favor and God's divine call on us that, you know, we might be, you know, kind of on stage left or somewhere, you know, in the forefront. But at the same time, in order to get to where we are, people don't realize you have to have a testimony. And a lot of people want to see, you know, they see all the, you know, glitz and the glamour, but they don't realize the hurt and the pain that we've had to go through over this past 10 years to get to where we are able to minister to other couples.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't take it lightly. You know, we understand that the call of God that's on our lives will come with great attack, will come with, you know, from personal attacks or even things from within us. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that there's a lot of friendly fire that takes place in marriages. It's not just the enemy, but it's a lot of friendly fire. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hang up on you like that, but, you know, or I'm sorry, I should have took out the trash last night and I ain't, you know, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Or I'm sorry, I still got this load of clothes on the bed that I'm just rolling my feet under that you've been asking for a week for me to clean up. But but for real, man, I mean, we have been blessed to just be real with people. And I think that's one thing that people can see is the authenticity of what we have and the fact that we're not just around here faking the funk. We have real issues just like everyone else. And you know, we're not going to sit up here and, you know, talk about all the stuff, you know, without at least letting you know, hey, there's some tangible dirty stuff that God has used his miraculous blood to cleanse and heal.
Hey, look, I'm gonna tell you, like, no, I think my wife is Mother Teresa. I don't know, you talking about Mother Teresa's sister. I honestly, look, I get on this show and I throw straight nothing but honor and love to her every show. Every time I get on the microphone, wherever I'm rapping at or ministering at, if I get a microphone in my hand, they gonna know who my wife is.
Amen.
Let's just be real. It ain't got nothing to do with safety. It has everything to do with, I recognize how amazing she really is and how big of a heart she has that she must have to love a knucklehead like me. Because when we first got married, I didn't know what marriage was at all. She came from a two-parent household. I didn't. You know what I mean? And all of my influences were no good whatsoever, regardless of what pulpit they were in. They weren't good. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And so I can understand. When I talk about my wife, I'm talking from a place of experience, of grace, of just so much love that I've received from that woman. She's really helped me to love myself and to love her, to love God. Like, I feel like I know the love I understand deeper now the love that God has for me by accepting her love for me. Because I feel like God uses our spouses to show us, one, the true us, because they're like the mirror on the wall that tells us the truth, but doesn't go anywhere. You know, everybody else in our lives, they don't tell us the truth, because if they did, we would either leave or they would leave. They can't deal with us, our true selves. That spouse is that one person that says, I see all your dirtiness. I see it, and I ain't going nowhere. You can't get rid of me.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to let you get rid of me. You know what I mean? And so that's, you know, that's why I have so much honor for my wife, man. So I respect what you guys are doing. I would really like to encourage you to continue to share your testimony, to share that, only because it's not like it's taboo. It's not like this is the first time this has ever happened. It's the first time. The problem is that it happens so often, and so often we have the same result, divorce or separation. This is a testimony to go through this, stick it through, and to come out on the other end and to be encouraging other marriages. That is not the norm at all in our society, and it's definitely not the norm in our culture. It's not even the norm in our churches, which is really sad, because this is where it should start at. But it's not even the norm in our churches. And so when you have this platform, you know, it is for somebody else's healing. Yeah, well and good, y'all been through this. You know, it's sad. It was hard. You made it out. You're making it out. God is good. He's showing his love to you. All that stuff is great and wonderful and all that. Yes, I don't want to discount that at all. But at the end of the day, there's somebody that needs it, because they're contemplating death. They're contemplating suicide. They're contemplating going in there and busting his head open with a jar of pennies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just take everybody out, you know, and this is happening everywhere, and so they need to know, hey, there's hope for the heaviest heart, there's hope for the darkest situation, there's hope for everything that you're going through, and here's how I know, I've been there.
Hey, man, I truly agree with you. We know that our testimony is powerful. We understand that God is even today still developing it. And that's why, you know, you are absolutely right. There are certain things that we know we're going to definitely have the avenue or the platform to be able to share with people. And we're very prayerful, just like this show. You know, we've been talking about, you know, coming on for the last month. And, you know, every week wife would just ask, well, have you talked to Dee? Do you know what we're going to be talking about? What are we still on? And so even tonight I was trying to get like some scriptures just so that I could have them to pull so quickly. But God, you know, in his infinite wisdom said, I've already placed it all in you. Just, you know, speak from your heart. And, you know, surprisingly, even tonight, I'm listening to my wife talk, and I'm just like, man, she is ministering to so many women out there that might even hear this on SoundCloud or, you know, the podcast. And she, you know, and that's one of the things that just blessed me even tonight, just to hear the maturity in the word that came out of her spirit.
Yes.
And she, you know, we didn't even know, or I didn't even know that all of that was in her. She quoting scriptures, you know, I'm the main one telling her, be anxious for nothing. And she, you know, the first thing that came out of her mouth, be anxious for nothing, but in all things to prayer and supplication. I'm looking at her like, where you get that from? But it is a blessing to just see some of that stuff pour out. And that's how the anointing is. You know, we are two olives that God has used to crush just a little bit to get the anointing, the oil that he has for, and the balm he has for other marriages and other ministries. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, and we just thank God for him being able to use us in that light. And we don't count it lightly. We don't like being crushed. Nobody likes being crushed. But at the same time, we know that out of the crushing, there's a production. And out of the production, there's a fruit or a substance or something that is produced out of that that will allow people to either be healed, be rescued, delivered, touched, or inspired. And we thank God for that. Nobody likes being crushed. Jesus didn't, you know, necessarily. I don't think he liked every whipping that he took. But at the same time, when he thought about the greater purpose that he had, he was able to take the blow even more. So that's kind of how we are.
And I attribute it to this. I totally agree to your point there. But to piggyback on it is, you know, we're tools in the master's hands. And, you know, you would never use a tool that hasn't been proven. You know what I mean? Like you wouldn't pick up a tool that you don't believe would work in the situation that you need it for. If you don't think it's going to work for that situation, you'll go and you'll grab something else. And the only reason you know it's going to work for that situation is because it's been tested in that area. And
what,
so God...
What you just said?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You want me to say it again?
No. I just said what you just said. I had the analogy of, you remember when we were kids, we used to have those plastic Tonka toy tools. Now, we could not use those tools to fix anything on our car. You know, we have to use the hard metal, those things that have been tested and tried, like you said. And so I say all of that to say that marriage is not for play. You know, it's one of those things that you definitely have to be real about it and understand that it's a strategic weapon that even God uses, a tool that God uses to further his kingdom.
Exactly. And so thank God for the storms. Thank God for the hard times, because it is truly going to be for God's glory. And that's the beautiful thing out of all of this that we just been through, out of all of the hell and the struggle, we understand that in the end of the day, we were created for his glory. And here it is that God has taken a situation that if we would have dwelled in it, would have ended us. But because we gave it back to him, he's going to use it to glorify himself through it. And I think that what we have to come down to is that marriage isn't about us. It's easy to think it is, because we got married. We went to the altar. We said, I do. We walked down the aisle. You know what I mean? We smashed the cake in each other's face. But at the end of the day, I mean, even thinking about that, I'm thinking about my marriage. Like, at the wedding, it wasn't even about us. Like, okay, yeah, everybody was there. They was looking at us and all that stuff there. But the truth of the matter is, it was for the people.
Mm.
Yeah, everybody showed up. All the family members showed up and all that. And we spent all this money, but it was for them. They're the ones that ate. We didn't eat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're the ones who got to sit back, relax, and watch this beautiful thing. We could have did that at a courthouse. You know what I mean?
Come on.
It was for them. And that was just the beginning of it. You know, and, you know, we're going to have this child. But this everything that me and my wife have been through is going to be for my child. You know, I'm going to let you guys go. And I told y'all I can talk. But I'm going to leave you with this. And I'm going to leave you with this. Kim, thank you so much. You have been an absolute – you brought the word tonight. You preach. So I'm going to throw that out there. Thank you. God bless you.
Well,
you
amen.
Yeah. And bro, you good too. But your wife preached the word tonight. and I really do believe that somebody is going to have like some true healing from what you were able to share. Your testimony is just it's just amazing when we put it into terms of it's not amazing because that's how it's supposed to be, but it's amazing because that's not how things are. But to understand, here's something, just a message that I have, and I talk about this all the time, is there's comfort in the cross.
Mm.
No, Christ wasn't comfortable on the cross. There was no comfort for him on the cross, but because of him taking up his cross, I have comfort. If it had not been for him getting up there and dying and then being risen again, without him going through the sacrifice he went through, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have what I have. So the comfort I have of my life is because of his sacrifice. And we can attribute that to every bit of our life. There's so many things that I've been through that I wish I wouldn't have. you know what I'm saying, all the mistakes I made, but I have so much wisdom from them that all of those crosses that I've had to bear, I'm able to share with someone else to give them some level of comfort. When I raise my child, and I, you know, of course, we don't have one yet, but I mean, they're not, he's not he or she, whatever. But because I go to work every day, I don't want to go to work every day, but I do. I pick up my cross and I go to bring home money, you know, to take care of this home. Because we struggled, we scraped, and we saved money, and we built this house, and we got out of debt. All these crosses that we put on our back before we had kids was so that when our child comes, they'll have a comfort. And they won't even understand the cross that we had to bear, but what they will have is the benefit of the cross, which would be their comfort. And so I want to say that to you guys is, yeah, you went through something in your marriage, and that was a heavy cross to bear, but somebody is going to find comfort in that. And that's the glory of God that has to be revealed through us. When someone can find comfort in your cross. Appreciate
Amen.
You guys
that's
so much for coming on the show.
Powerful.
Thank you guys
so much for
having us.
We got to have you back again. Like I said, I talk about marriage probably once a month on my show.
Okay.
It's just weird that it happens like that, man. But, I have in my men's group, I have a C group, connect group, a small group, whatever you want to call it. And in that group, you know, we talk about marriage. My group is all about married men opening up, building bridges for each other so that we don't have to go through the same thing that the person ahead of us went through.
Amen.
And from that, man, I go to a lot of marriage conferences. I read a lot of marriage books and stuff like that. It's just something that's in my heart, man, to build marriages and see them be successful. So I really appreciate you guys, and I will be having you back again. I promise.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right,
listen, that's the end of the show, God. Go ahead. What's you guys going to say?
No, I'm just going to say, man, I believe that this is definitely a divine connection, and your actual wedding anniversary date is my wife's birthday. So that is fascinating in itself. When you said December 4th, I said, oh, somebody got a birthday on that day. So praise God, man. Thank you for having us, man. And, you know, whenever you need us, just call.
Yeah, will do, man. Happy birthday, sis. If I don't talk to you before then, I really do appreciate you guys. I will be linking up with you all, though, for sure. Thank you so much for being on the show. And listen, guys, you are tuned in to the Revive Radio Show. Please download this podcast. It's on TuneIn, iTunes, and on Facebook, and anywhere else you can find a podcast. But download and share. There are marriages out there that are going down, 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 down. And there are some life that was spoken on this show tonight that I feel like needs to be shared and invested into someone else's life. So if you will, please download this and share it on your Facebook page. Let's help somebody else out. Let's not make this about ourselves tonight. We love you guys. I love you guys. Have a great night. Blah, 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 and blah, 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 blah. That's my closing. That's it.
Oh, God.
Yo.
Yo.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay, Google. Dial 904-553-8777.
Calling 904-553-8777.
Hey, what's up, bro?